Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today is July 5th, day after the 4th of July. We got a lot to talk about. NBA free agency, European transfer window, or really just transfer window for everyone except MLS, basically. There are some MLS moves, though.
Yeah, a couple big ones for Real.
Player movement is what we're talking about today, and there's a lot going on. First, we'll talk about the 4th. One thing Matt and I think are passionate about, passionate might be a stretch, but in accord on, is that fireworks are overrated. We'll start off the show hot.
Yeah, no, that's a big statement we're making, but
they're fine. But like, just what? No one would be not on the 4th of July be like, let's go watch some fireworks. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And like, they don't need to be Saturday and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. Just like one day is fine.
Right.
And I don't get the hype. Like the Bees game yesterday, Kyle Harrison, the San Francisco Giants' best prospect, was pitching for the Sacramento Rivercats. We were playing in Salt Lake. So I obviously go to the game. It just happened to be on the 4th of July. So it was the biggest crowd. The parking was a mess. I had to walk like 4 blocks, which for a minor league baseball game is stupid. It was so dumb. And I just wanted to see Kyle Harrison. There was a ton of people wearing like Braves and Rangers and Red Sox jerseys. Like, that's another thing that bugs me about people. Like, wearing a third-party jersey to a game.
Yes.
One of my least favorite things in the entire world.
Yes.
So annoying.
Now, I think, given that, and I understand why you did it, but maybe you should explain why you were wearing a Giants jersey then.
Because that's the Giants AAA team.
Yeah, I get that, but...
So it's not a third-party jersey, it's the opposing team.
Yeah.
Even the Sacramento Rearcats were all wearing Giants t-shirts when they weren't, like, for their warm-ups.
Right.
So...
Oh, that's cool, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so like, all the Rearcats, they had, like, black Giants shirts on.
Yeah.
So that's why. Wearing an Angels jersey, wearing a Giants jersey, wearing the actual jersey, it's fine. But, like, the Red Sox have nothing to do with the game. Don't wear a Rafael Devers Red Sox jersey. Yeah. He's not even on the team anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think he's dumb. Or, like, get an MLS game. If you're at a MLS game and you're wearing, like, a Liverpool jersey, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, just wear a normal shirt or a jersey of someone whose league you're actually watching.
Yes. No, I agree with that. Go with the teams or just regular clothes. Regular clothes is fine.
Regular clothes is great.
No problem.
Fantastic.
That. Yeah.
It's like when Rob Lowe wore the NFL hat.
That was hilarious. I like that.
Yeah. I thought it was funny.
Yeah. I don't know that he thought it was... I don't think he was trying to be funny, but I thought it was hilarious.
I thought it was super funny.
Yeah. Well, other than everything that happened before and with the fans and after the game, how was the actual game?
Kyle Harrison, if he can stop walking people, is going to be really good. That's the only reason he's not pitching in the major leagues right now is too many walks.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was really good. Joey Bart was there, who was the number 2 pick in 2019, I think.
Uh-huh.
Brett Phillips was playing for the A's. Or not the A's, I'm sorry. I was thinking Angels, and I just thought the letter A. Brett Phillips was pitching for the B's, who he's the guy who played for Tampa Bay and was like the outfielder, but would come in like relief pitch when they were down by 10 and like just sprint onto the field and take it super seriously.
Uh-huh.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
I do not know who you're
talking about. No one in the game knew who I was talking about either.
Yeah.
But it was cool to see him. I didn't know he was playing AAA for the Angels.
To be fair, an outfield / relief pitcher from Tampa, like that's not... I mean, baseball's already a sport where people don't know a lot of the players.
I feel like, though, if you, like, watch baseball, you know who he is just because he's, like, funny.
Yeah.
If you don't, there's no way you would.
Right.
But I was also explaining, like, defensive war and, like, the pitch clock and stuff like that to people.
Yeah.
So, it was not a high IQ baseball crowd, which is fine. Totally fine. I'm trying to think. Because all the Angels prospects are in, like, double A or high A. Like, Ben Joyce, the Tennessee pitcher, went straight from... He has skipped AAA, skipped Salt Lake, went from Rockets, which is Houston, but their AA team straight to the Angels.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all the Angels' good prospects are in high or AA. They aren't in Salt Lake. That's just kind of a weird how it worked out, I guess.
That is weird, yeah. Doesn't make sense to me, but whatever.
It was a good time, though.
Yeah.
It was a fun time. Fun time. I try to go to one more game while Sacramento's in town here.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, we got a good top 5 to end the show, but we'll just kind of go through player movement for both soccer and the NBA. Should we start with the NBA and then go to soccer?
Let's do start with the NBA. I think that's going to take us a little bit longer.
So I'm just looking at ESPN's player tracker, and let's go through transactions that catch our eye. And I guess we can start with Dame. I think we talked about Dame a little bit last week, right?
I don't know. I can't remember when he requested the trade, because it was either like right before or right after we recorded.
Last week we talked about everything, is because that was the first time since we were gone.
Yeah, certainly it's developed more since. Yeah. And all the stuff about Miami, I don't think we would have known last week.
Well, it's interesting because it sounds like Miami salary-wise needs to move Tyler Hero, but Portland has zero interest in Tyler Hero, so they need to find a third team who wants Tyler Hero and then send those assets to Portland in addition to what Miami's going to be giving up. And I saw something like Jason Tatum's trying to recruit Dame to Boston, and I don't think Jason Tatum or Dame have any say in the situation whatsoever. So that's kind of useless.
Yeah.
Unless he's recruiting, like, talking to Portland's general manager. I don't know what he wants Dame to do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if Dame is saying right now, I'm not going to play for you, don't trade for me. I guess if he's willing to play for the Celtics, I think that would help. But that'd be, I mean, if you're Boston, do you trade for Damian Lillard? Like, is that the move?
Well, you'd have to make sure you not extend Jaylen Brown. And you probably have to include Jaylen Brown.
Right.
Plus some other stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess so, but I don't think Portland would do that, because Jaylen Brown's, what, 26 or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, he's not old. He's not young either, I guess.
Portland already has so many guards. Yeah, Jaylen Brown's 26. And I know Jaylen Brown's like a three or a wing, I guess, but they already have like so many wing players. I don't know if they want Jaylen Brown. I really don't know what they want. Like, now Utah is a team that NBA people like Brian Windhorst have said, like, that could be a good trade candidate. Dame has ties to the Jazz. Well, to Utah, not the Jazz. He played college ball at Weber State in Utah here. I would love Utah to give up Walker Kessler as part of a trade for Dame. But it sounds like if he's only going to Miami, and I've heard there's about seven teams who are willing to help facilitate, be like the third team to try to get Tyler Hero plus maybe some other assets to get Dame to Miami. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's a world where he doesn't end up in Miami. I also think it could go into like training camp or even maybe the early part of the season. I don't think anything will be happen soon. But I don't see a world where Dame goes anywhere besides Miami.
No, I don't really either. And the Jazz is an interesting point, because it's just because it's an interesting perspective on team building. It's like, do you get the player that you know is good right now, or do you just kind of wait and let things develop? Because, like, if you're the Jazz, I don't think there's any way you can get Dame without getting rid of Lauri Markkanen at this point. And probably also Ochai and, you know, Walker Kessler is another one that I think that Portland would want, right?
Fingers crossed.
And it's like, I just don't think, even if you somehow keep Lauri Markkanen, like, Dame and Lauri Markkanen are not going to win a championship by themselves, you know? And if they're not going to win a championship, I don't understand what the point of doing this is when you just got rid of Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert.
I think if the Jazz could keep Markkanen, they would do it. I don't think that'll happen, but I think if there's a trade where the Jazz could keep Markkanen, I think they would pull the trigger. But yeah, who knows? Think how many jerseys they would sell. You know?
Sell a ton of jerseys.
Everyone would have a Dame. I was eating on Monday, I went to a pizza place. Two kids had Portland Dame jerseys. Like, we love them here.
Right.
Yeah. Love them here. I do think he ends up Miami, and I do think Dame, Butler, and Adebayo, I think that's a good enough, as good a big three as any I can think of off the top of my head in the league.
Yeah, I think they have a real good chance to win the league like that.
Yeah.
Real good chance.
Now, Harden, should we bash on Harden for a little bit before we go to some free agent stuff?
Yeah, why not?
What is he thinking, like, opting in and, like, complaining about Philadelphia? Like, at what point is he going to realize he's the problem?
I don't know, man. It just, yeah.
And I saw Ben Simmons requested a trade out of Brooklyn. Like, what did Brooklyn do wrong? Like, he didn't. Did he even play for them? Did he play like three games?
Yeah, he played a few games.
Like, what? What does he? I understand mental health, but at some point, like, you sign a contract, you have a job to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's not the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I just don't think... Yeah, unfortunately for him, I just think there are zero teams that would be interested in trading for him unless the trade is, take Ben Simmons and we'll give you some draft picks.
Yeah, like a tanking team, a team that's below the luxury tax or the second apron, whatever, with the new CBA. They can get some assets. Mm-hmm. I don't see how Ben Simmons has any way or wiggle room to request anything from anybody.
Yeah.
He can't even be on the court.
Right.
And again, want to be sensitive to mental health and everything, but also it's been, what, 3 years? Since he, like, played more than five games?
It's been a while.
And, like, there are people who have real problems. You know what I mean? He's complaining about playing basketball.
Yeah, I think he played maybe more than you think. I'm going to look it up real quick. Certainly didn't play particularly well. Played 42 games this year.
Oh, good for him.
So, you know.
Did half of his job.
More than five. Yeah, no, 56% field goal percentage. No three-pointers attempted. Six rebounds. Six assists. So, yeah, you know, like not... Not a horrible, you know, power forward. Unfortunately, he's a guard, so you can't really have him playing backup power forward. He's certainly not going to be happy about that anyway.
He's not going to be happy about anything, no matter what, though. Mm-hmm. Should we get some actual transactions that have actually happened?
Sure.
So, Grant Williams, 4-year, $53 million sign-and-trade. Boston gets 3 second-rounders. Grant Williams going to Dallas. Let's see, Malik Beasley from the Jazz, then from the Lakers, going to the Milwaukee Bucks. Torrey Craig, who I really like, 2-year deal with the Chicago Bulls. I'd have to look at the Bulls lineup, but they kept Coby White, North Carolina guard, who I'm obviously a big fan of. I think Torrey Craig can help him stay in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. They were a bubble team last year. Because Miami played Chicago in that, like, last game to get the 8th seed. And there's no way Jimmy Butler was losing to Chicago in a playoff series.
No.
But if they would have played another team, I thought Chicago could have done decently well. And I love Torrey Craig. I think he's awesome.
Yeah, no, he's a good player to have on your team for sure.
For, like, those type of, like, role players, like 3-and-D guys, like, I think Torrey Craig moves well without the ball. I think he does a lot of good things. So really, really like Torrey Craig to Chicago there. Justin Holiday going to Denver. Lonnie Walker, who I liked in like when he was at the University of Miami. Brooklyn Nets. Eric Gordon. I thought the Suns, we talked about Suns not having any cap room. I think they've done actually a decent job with signing like vets to minimum deals, basically filling out their roster around Book and Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant. I think they've done as well as they can. I would give them an A.
Yeah,
understanding the situation they're in. Like, I don't think they've done the best, like, roster-wise, but factoring in the cap situation and things like that, I think they've done as well as they can.
I mean, sure, but, like, I feel like if we were going to give you an A, then that has to be, like...
I think
enough to actually help them win a championship. Had they done enough to win a championship? Like, I don't really think so. I think they're going to run into the same problems. Like, Eric Gordon's a good player. He averaged, like, 12 points last year.
I think we're grading on a scale relative to, like, what you can do in your situation. Like, if it's just who brought in the most talent, not Phoenix.
Sure.
But they also had kind of one of the worst cap situations, least flexibility.
I mean, they made that situation for themselves.
Yeah, but they've done well with what they could have. And they do have three. I'm not saying they're going to win the championship next year, but they do have, I think, a better supporting cast now than most people thought they could get before the season started, off-season started.
I think that you think it's better than me. It's better than I thought it was going to be, but I don't really think it's going to help them very much.
I think it's better than what people were expecting.
Sure.
I think if you take expectations minus reality, I think Phoenix is pretty high on that chart.
Yeah.
Now, you know who did good is the Lakers as well.
Yeah.
They did really well. Jackson Hayes came in. They signed a bunch of people I really liked, and I think you're pulling up the actual acquisitions here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. They brought back D'Angelo Russell, Rui Hachimura, Cam Reddish, no A-plus guy, but a lot of really good players who I think makes them a better team than they were last year. I also think even though they were a 7 seed, the run to the conference finals was a legit run. Mm-hmm. And I don't see why the Lakers can't be I don't think they'll be a top 3 seed necessarily, but I think by the time we get to the playoffs, they'll be talked about as one of the contenders, just like last year. I think they got better.
Yeah, well, their last 25 games or so, they were the second best team in the league, and then make it all the way to the conference finals, and they beat some good teams to get there. So, yeah, no, I'm with you. I think this is a good team. I think Jackson Hayes is going to help them a lot. I really like him. Getting Austin Reeves back is a big deal, I think. Cam Reddish is going to be nice for them. So, yeah, still probably, I'd like to see them have another playmaker or two. But, yeah, certainly a really good team. Definitely going to be one of the better teams in the West.
Dante DiVincenzo signed with New York.
He did.
Reunited with Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart from that Villanova squad.
Yeah, the New York Wildcats.
Yeah. Man, that Villanova, the last, whatever years with Jay Wright, they were so good.
Really good.
Very talented.
Yeah. And so many NBA players.
Yeah, because in college, everyone in the NBA is one and done, and all those players of Villanova are 3 or 4 year guys.
Yeah.
And they're doing really well in the NBA.
Right.
Especially Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson owes the Utah Jazz part of his paycheck or something like that, because he made so much money off of that series.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that was sad.
Any other teams or acquisitions do you think we're talking about? Really, Dame's going to be the big one, obviously.
Well, the one that I'm most interested in, and I guess I'm interested just because I think it's bad, is the Rockets. Because I don't really understand what's going on with the Rockets. So, I mean, the two big ones, Fred VanVleet, 3-year max. You don't see a lot of 3-year maxes, which is, to me, that's saying the Rockets are saying this player is not actually worth a max. We're going to give it to them anyway. And Fred VanVleet realizing, holy cow, I am about to fleece the Rockets for them giving me a max, right? Yeah. And then Dylan Brooks, who it was reported that nobody wanted Dylan Brooks, right? Yeah. I read several people talking about how nobody had any interest in Dylan Brooks. 4 years, $80 million. So you're giving him $20 million a year. So you're essentially paying $50 million a year for Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks.
That doesn't sound good.
No, that's... And I don't understand that. You're locking yourself into tanking for 4 years, basically, is what you've done.
Yeah. JJ Redick went after the Brooks signing. I was like, Brooks is a good player. I want him on my team. Agitator, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, sure, fine. You like Dylan Brooks, but if no one else wants him, why are you paying him $80 million?
Right.
Patrick Beverley signed for, I think, the vet minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of money. Right. And if your job's just annoying, Pat Beverley's better at that than Dylan Brooks is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just sign Pat Beverley for $4 million.
Right.
If that's what you want. And Dylan Brooks is a plus defender, but, he even pissed off his own teammate. No one in Memphis even liked him.
Right.
That's not going to help the locker room.
Yeah. And so that was the only team that I just really scratched my head. Just don't have any idea what they're doing.
Yeah. Now, it is crazy. Remember that Wichita State team? Fred VanVleet has had a much better career than I think a lot of people expected out of him.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, good for him. And yeah, talking about this, Fred VanVleet, I wouldn't have given him a max. I'm happy and, I understand, he's a good player, so.
No, if he would have got 4 years, $80 million, the Brooks deal, I would have thought that was a lot. But I was that's, more understandable. If he would have gotten the Brooks deal.
Yeah.
VanVleet.
No, yeah. We, I would need to actually look into it and see what's because I don't know off the top of my head who's undrafted and who's not. But Fred VanVleet's got to be undrafted Hall of Fame for sure.
Was he undrafted?
He's undrafted.
Oh.
Fred VanVleet.
Yeah, for sure. The NBA, I think, is so much harder than the NFL to be an undrafted free agent and, actually make a team do really well.
Yeah, because there's just so few spots.
Yeah. And if you're not drafted, then Yeah, there's just not a lot of roster spots. That, like, you have to, like, be way better than a draft, like, even a second rounder, I think, just to stay on and stick around on the team a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else before we go to soccer? Football?
Do you want to, we talked about Chris Paul last week, right? So we don't need to talk about that.
Yeah, we did talk about Chris Paul. We didn't talk about it again, but...
No. Do you have any thoughts on Kyrie and Seth Curry and the Dallas Mavericks?
Kyrie Irving is, I think, if, like, you gave 100 people, like, the ability to, like, monstar talent from an NBA player, I think more than half of them would pick Kyrie.
Yeah.
I just think that seems like the funnest, like, how he's the best ball handler in NBA history. Was that wrong? I would say so.
He's like,
ball handler?
Yeah, he's absolutely in the top five. I would need to think about it for a second.
As a basketball player, there's not a lot of people I like watching more than him. The problem is you got to factor in more than being a basketball player. But also, Dallas kind of had to extend him, I feel like. You know, you gave up those assets, you kind of...
You've absolutely got to extend him.
So I think the mistake was trading for him, not extending him.
Yeah. But yeah, so, no, I do think Seth Curry, I really like as a support piece for really anybody, certainly for the Mavericks. I think he's going to help a lot. It's going to be really... I mean, to have Kyrie and Luka passing the ball is going to be awesome. Also, Dante Exum, who I was kind of surprised when he had to leave the league. I know they had a lot of problems. He had a lot of injuries. But really, really great defender. And so if he's coming mostly be a defensive specialist, they're not paying him a lot of money. It's a one-year deal. I think he's absolutely worth taking a shot at.
Yeah, I mean, back the bench, why not, you know? I was, because when Utah Jazz drafted him fifth overall, Marcus Smart went fifth to Boston, and I wanted the Jazz to get Marcus Smart, but I was like, you know, Dennis Lindsay's smarter than me. I don't know a lot about the Australian basketball, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I wasn't too hard, but Marcus Smart turned out to be a really good player.
Yeah.
I think Exum could have been if he didn't have injuries, so I don't want to say, oh, it was a no-brainer, they should have taken Smart, but I do think about that quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see Exum back in the league.
Yeah, me too.
I think Dallas will be a fun team to watch just because Luka's the man. They do have Kyrie Irving, and when he's playing basketball, he's super cool.
Yeah, so I think, who knows? Yeah, maybe he has 2 years of goofing off, and then he takes 1 year serious, but, you know, I think he's, you would certainly, the last, you know, 6 months or so, he was definitely acting more mature. You heard about him a lot less. And so who knows? Maybe this works out for the Mavericks.
You know, just like Mike Tomlin deserves a Nobel Peace Prize, one thing that's underrated about Mike Krzyzewski is we never heard any of this weird Kyrie stuff when he was a Duke.
No, we did not. I mean, obviously, you know, coaching a college player is way different than an NBA player. But
yeah, maybe he grew into it, but good for Mike Krzyzewski for keeping it under wraps there.
Absolutely.
Should we go to European football?
Let's talk about some football real quick.
And just some big transfers here. We're not going to go through, like, every single thing. One that I want to talk about, because it affects both of us, and I think he's just a really good player, Mason Mount to Manchester United.
I'm sad about that.
I thought Mason Mount was awesome. Played at Chelsea since he was, like, 5 or 8 or something, right?
Yeah, he's been with Chelsea a long time.
So, I don't know why he left. Do you? You might know more than me.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, I did want to bring Chelsea up just because it's an interesting
situation. Let's just start with Chelsea because they're the most interesting team, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they have gotten rid of so many good players. Jorginho, Kai Havertz, N'Golo Kante, their keeper, Edouard Mendy. A lot of these players are going to the Saudi League. A couple are going to Arsenal. And so, yeah, Chelsea is just kind of clearing house, and I know that the transfer window is not closed yet, but they have not brought in a lot of talent, certainly not anybody worth mentioning, really. And so I don't totally understand the strategy. I mean, maybe they see this as a 1 year, 2 year rebuild, and they're just kind of punting on this season. But they've clearly decided the players that they have are not working out, which, you know, I understand N'Golo Kante, you know, I do get he was injured a lot, but he was just so good So that's painful. You know, Jorginho, not the youngest guy in the world. Like, Mason Mount, I don't understand at all. I mean, that dude is young. He's a key piece for the England national team. Been with Chelsea a long time. Mason Mount is the kind of player that you hold on to and rebuild around. I mean, maybe he just didn't want to be around for this rebuild. But I think Mason Mount, you know, him and Conte are the players I'm most disappointed about losing.
Without knowing too much about Mason Mount personally, you think like someone who's been in the Chelsea Academy, clearly has a love for the club. He's one of those like just midfield players that you need if you're going to be a really good team. You think that's who you want. Yeah, like you said, like I don't see why Chelsea would have any motivation. And I haven't heard maybe he wanted to move on, maybe he wanted to go United, but I don't see why Chelsea didn't like do it. When I say everything, I don't mean give him Ronaldo money, but like it seemed like they didn't really try to keep him.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that they're just, you know, trying to make as much money as they can through transfers so that they can buy other players. Because, you know, Chelsea is not Manchester City, so they have to make money by selling players in order to buy new players.
They don't have the Saudi money?
No. Well, they...
They had the Russian money.
Well, the thing is, like, because Man City is not just the Saudi money, it's that they're buying players with income that is not from inside the club. You know, that's
is illegal.
The problem. Yes. You know, Chelsea, you know, it's not, I know it's not Saudi money, but that Todd Bowley, like, he's not poor. He owns the Dodgers. Like, he's got enough money he could spend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that, you know, the focus right now is sell players, get as much money in, and then see who we can buy in the winter transfer window and then, you know, the next window as well. But great, great player for Man U. I think Man U, your prospects are looking up right now.
Their midfield, Manchester United's midfield, is Mason Mount, Bruno Fernandes, who is awesome, and Casemiro, we got him last year from Real Madrid.
Really good.
What a midfield.
Yeah, I mean...
You got Rashford up top, Jadon Sancho.
Pretty much just the... is just like the U-25 England national team, feels like to me.
Man, Marcus Rashford, when he was on that, like, he scored like 10 games in a row or something like that.
Yeah.
He is so good. I love Marcus Rashford.
Yeah, him and Mason Mount playing together is going to be really, really fun.
I'm really excited about Mason Mount. Like, super excited. I'm trying to think. Obviously, there's, like, bigger names, but I don't think there's a ton of players who I'd be, like, more excited about getting. Just because, like, it's like Jordan Henderson at Liverpool, you know what I mean? Like, he's just one of those, like, does everything. When I say face of the team, it's like kind of the identity, like that tough, creative mindset. I know Henderson's a different player than Mason Mount, but like just those midfield players who just kind of do everything for you are so critical to possession, attacking, whatever. So super stoked about Mason Mount. Now, speaking of Chelsea, Pulisic, not official, but AC Milan are trying to get him. And it sounds like AC Milan will be playing him at the 10, like that attacking midfield position, which Chelsea refused to do. He didn't even play that much at Dortmund, but that's what he does for the U.S. national team.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see Pulisic stay in the Premier League, but they were in the semifinals of Champions League last year, AC Milan. So a very good club, allows him to stay in Champions League. And if he's playing a prominent role for him, I think that's the best thing for his development.
No, I think AC Milan is a great move for all the reasons you just said. You know, namely that he's going to get to play the position that he's really best at. But yeah, no, I'm excited. And, you know, Italy, I think the Serie A gets overlooked as a league because, you know, the top league is absolutely the Premier League. The second league is probably... La Liga in Spain, I would say, just for the top-level talent. But I also think that the bottom teams in Italy are probably better than the bottom teams in La Liga. And I would even put Serie A, the Italian league, ahead of the German league, the Bundesliga.
I think UEFA had Italy ahead of... I think they ranked it as like Premier League, Bundesliga in Germany. And then I think they had the Serie A third, like ahead of Spain.
Yeah.
So, a little different order, but kind of same thing. Like, it's a really good league.
Very good league, yeah. So, no, I'm excited for that. I think that'd be a great move. You know, really hate to see him leave Chelsea, but, you know, I want him to do well. So.
And again, going to AC Milan allows him to stay in the Champions League, which Chelsea is not going to be in next year.
Right.
So that in and of itself is fantastic because he rejected a bid to Lyon, which I wouldn't have liked. France is not even in the top five of the UEFA rankings on their leagues.
Interesting.
So I think it went because typically the top five in some orders, England, Spain, Germany, Italy, France. But I think France was seventh behind the Netherlands and somebody else.
Let me see. I'm pulling it up.
See if you can find
it. Now. I don't super trust this website, although it seems to match what you're saying. So they're going England, Serie A, the Italian League 2.
Oh, there.
Bundesliga, German League 3. La Liga, Spain 4. Belgian Pro League 5.
That's who it was.
Netherlands 6. And then France 7.
Yeah.
So
France is going downhill.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's just... Well, it's because, like, you play in Paris for Paris Saint-Germain, you know. And I know Lyon is a big club with a lot of money, particularly on the women's side. But, like,
not a lot of depth.
I can't name another French team.
I name one.
I mean, Marseille, right?
Yeah, that's, yeah. Yeah, or, like, Monaco, I guess. But I'm just naming French cities,
yeah,
too.
Right. Just assuming
they're yeah. Team, yeah, like, no, it's not. We're, like, the Serie A, or especially the Premier League, like, teams, like, 1 through 30 in the Premier League. I know it's only a 20-team league, but, like, that is legit. It's the most physical league in the world. Germany is another physical league. But, yeah, Italy's a really, really deep country as far as, like, their league, their national league. So, could be a good move. And speaking of American star, Tim Weah's going to Juventus.
Yeah.
So, I think that'll be interesting.
Yeah, like that a lot.
There's, like, five or six U.S. men's national teams players who have transferred and either gone to a better team or, like, a better situation in Europe. So, really excited about that.
Yeah.
Really excited about that. I saw that Pulisic, this is obviously just a rumor, but like his contract with Milan would be up in 2026. That's when Messi's contract is over. So after the World Cup's over that we're hosting, the United States in 2026, Pulisic could come, gets all the hype from playing on being the captain or at least being the star of the World Cup team, comes to MLS, Messi's leaving, could be in MLS in 2026.
That'd be interesting. That'd be a lot of fun. Yeah,
For the league.
It would be good. It'd be very good for the league.
So obviously a long time away, but we'll see what happens. A lot of interesting stuff. I love player movement and everything we're talking about here. And excited to see how do you even watch the Serie A? Like what channel is that on? That's the one stat thing because the Premier League is so much easier to watch than anything else.
It is. The Serie A has been on ESPN Plus. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. So the German league is on ESPN Plus, which is nice.
Yeah.
Should we get to the top five?
Let's do the top five.
So here's the top five for this week. Last week we did top five Chilean food. Back to the sports vibe. This is the top five quarterback numbers. So numbers for a quarterback to have.
Very good.
Number five is not on the list, actually. Number five didn't make the top five.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see what you've done.
Now, I'm open for debate. There's one or two numbers I left off that I think you could put on there. These are just my thoughts. Number five, I went 12.
Interesting.
Number four, 16. And I'm prepared to defend that.
Okay.
Number three is 15. And probably I actually like 16 a lot, so I kind of want to put that higher.
Yeah.
Number two is 1, which I think is the most controversial one.
Yeah.
And then number one is 18.
18 is a classic, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, do you want me to go through the list, the justification, or do you want to go first?
No, I mean, I don't know that I have a top five. I didn't write one down anyway. The thing that I mostly want to explain is how 12 ended up behind 15 and 16. That seems quite low. 12 is, you know, currently at least Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. So,
yeah, I think
big names.
I think 12 and 7 are like the standard quarterback numbers. Like John Elway was 7, Andrew Luck was 12. So I think it could have been higher, but like 16, I mean, that's Peyton Manning's number in college. Joe Montana was 16.
Mm-hmm.
So Trevor Lawrence is 16. So in and of itself, 12 has a lot of, or 16 has a lot of action. And I think 16 looks cooler than 12. I will say in Little League, I was number 12.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of too standard, you know, too generic in a way. I'm a quarterback, I'll be number 12.
I get what you're saying.
I do like it though.
Yeah. I think I'm biased, and probably just Utah people in general are biased to 12.
Stockton.
John Stockton, yeah. Exactly.
Well, for point guards and quarterbacks, again, I think it's great. So it probably could have been a little bit higher.
Yeah.
But like 15, Tim Tebow's 15, Pat Mahomes is 15 right now.
That's true.
I think it's a classy, like cool looking number, 15. Number one, not very, that's the one I think is the most controversial in the sense that it's not a typical quarterback number. But like,
it's Justin, really in right now.
Justin Fields looks sick in his number one jersey.
Jalen Hurts is number one.
Jalen Hurts looks dope in his number one jersey, mm-hmm. you know? Zach Wilson switched from one at BYU to two in the New York Jets, and everything went downhill.
That's true.
Yeah. And 18, Archie Manning, Peyton Manning, you know.
It's crazy to start with Archie Manning when you're defending 18.
That's what I think. I literally, like, when I think of 18, I think of Archie Manning. And, like, the speed limit at Ole Teen is 18 miles an hour, or at Ole Miss is 18 miles an hour.
Oh, Archie is the dad. Arch is the grandson.
Yeah.
I was thinking the grandson.
No, Archie Manning.
I gotcha.
The great New Orleans Saints Ole Miss quarterback. I gotcha. Archie Manning. The one who started it all.
Yeah.
No, that's who I think of when I think 18.
Yeah, the only one that I'm thinking of that I think deserves a mention is 4. I liked... You know, not that I really like Brett Favre anymore, but I thought that was a good number for him in the NFL.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a classic one. I think, yeah, I think, because when I think of quarterback, I think like 7, 12, and 18. But some of those other ones I like a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair.
But that's quarterback numbers. Next week, we will, I think, do baseball, All-Star Weekend, see what we can get schedule-wise, but should have a good show next week. Appreciate everybody listening. Again, if you haven't dropped a 5-star review or a comment, feel free to do so. Appreciate everybody who's done that already, and we'll talk to you guys next week.